Well, good morning and welcome this morning. Glad that you're with us here today, and we'll hopefully sing some more in here today as we get adjusted for our morning start. I don't know if it's the overcast nature of our day. Got some people moving a little slower here this morning, but we're glad that you're with us here today. Let me remind you a few things, and especially those of you joining us online. Hopefully you will also be aware of some different things happening up and coming here. And I want to remind you again about today. There is going to be, during the second service, a child and parent dedication. That'll be happening during the second service, right towards the beginning. And then this afternoon at 4:30, we're planning our quarterly business meeting, and hopefully then to give us opportunity to have some discussion, a little bit of time together to share what's going on, a little bit of reports, but also some vision, some ideas of some things that we're looking forward to doing. Following that, we're going to have a sort of a fellowship time, just some light refreshments and just a time just to chat and interact with each other for a little bit following that time. And then after that fellowship time, leadership training is going to commence. And we really are strongly encouraging all of our Sunday school teachers, especially, to take part in this afternoon, this evening at 6 o'clock is roughly what time that'll start. And we are committed to keeping that right at an hour at the most, trying to just share some things and also direct some traffic and kind of give some ideas as we move forward and working together as we see God work and work in the hearts and lives of those who come during times of teaching and training and things of this nature. So plan on that. It's a full day today, and looking forward to spending some time with you today. Now, next Sunday, the Beaches are going to be with us, and we're looking forward to hearing from them, an update, and also he'll be speaking during the morning service. And then following that in the evening, the afternoon as well, from 4 to 8 o'clock roughly, we're going to be having a time out at the Collegedale Commons and Ice Cream Social. All right, and we are working to make sure that we've get something there that's cold enough to hold the ice cream, cold enough, long enough, so we don't have to drink it out of a straw. All right, but excited to be able to fellowship with you. I hope that you'll plan on being there. Collegedale Commons, if you have any questions about that, talk with Fred or even one of the staff members, and we can guide you in that discussion. Some other things there in the bulletin, make sure that you're aware of the children's program that's coming up on the 15th. We've got missionaries this week that we're praying for. I hope that you'll always be aware of this as we move through our bulletin. Each week we try to single out one of our missionaries and specifically pray for them for that week. And then also mentioning our school, we've got school getting ready to start here in a few weeks. I know all of our students are just excited. Teachers are just chomping at the bit. Everybody, it's just one of those times of the year. And so looking forward to getting started with that here in a few weeks. School will begin on the 16th for our school here at Grace Baptist Academy. Children's Center needs some help. I think you saw an email that went out. Hopefully you realize that if you can pass that word along, or even if you are looking for work, working with children, I know that Sherry would love to interview you or someone that you know, and appreciate your prayers for that as well. Thinking about prayer requests, as John Dratton makes ready to come, he's going to lead us this morning in our time together as we read the verses and then also open in prayer, but to continue to pray for Mike Reese and John Brandon, and then there's a word of thanks there from Dwight Holbert. So remember these different ones as we go through our day and think about this week. Let's stand together if you would, and John is going to lead us in a time of recitation, looking at the scripture verse today, and then open us in the word of prayer today.
Good morning. Our verse for the week is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and let's read that together, please. Matthew 10, 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And let's pray. Our dear Father, we praise you that you are God. You are the one who's in control. You are the creator. You are the sustainer. And here we see you are the destroyer as well. How we praise you for your grace, your love, your faithfulness to you, to being what you are. We thank you for your plan of salvation and the grace that you have given us by faith in you. We thank you for this work, this ministry here at Grace Baptist. We pray for Pastor Adam that you'd give him the words to speak and the wherewithal to speak them this morning, that you'd prepare our hearts to hear your word and to put it into practice, that you would help us as a ministry with the many different things going on today, the business meeting, the leadership meeting, for the school as it's getting ready to start this month, for Awana as it's getting ready to start next month, for the many outreach ministries that we have. We thank you for the opportunities you've given us to carry out your work. Help us to do so. Help us to be faithful in doing your work. We pray, too, for several folks who have different needs. We think of Faith Lamb and her sister recovering from the cancer, for Amanda and Jemry with cancer, for John Brandon recovering from his shoulder, and Mike with his back, and Larry Poff's nephew, and David, and others, Father, in our church who have different physical needs. We lift them before you, ask for your grace to strengthen and heal them. We ask that you give the medical folks wisdom in helping them and treating them. We look forward, Father, to see what you're going to be doing, both in their lives and in the lives of our ministry and today as we hear from your word and as we sing and as we praise you. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, John. Thank you for drawing our attention to the praise that we want to give this morning. Pastor Love's going to be speaking from Philippians chapter 4, and the verse there this morning says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice, and I trust that you'll sing and praise the Lord together as we lift up his name. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Sing with us this morning.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say. Savior reigns, the God of truth and love. When he had purged our stain, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. His kingdom I cry out to you. trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you're not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God all my life. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Cause your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Cause your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. You're thankful for that. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Of God.
You may be seated.
Amen. Good singing this morning. Take our Bibles, go with me to the book of Philippians here together as we open God's word and we think about what is coming in the days ahead and in the times of life and the experiences of life. Things are brought to our awareness and attentions and everything, and songs like this are fitting when we think about how God is consistently faithful and he is good in spite of the failings of others and in spite of the conditions that so many times want to assail us and discourage us. And I think about what Paul has to say here in Philippians chapter 4 as we come back into our series, this thought of uncommon joy, thinking about what God has truly done on our behalf to prepare us for the life that he has called us to live and to go into life itself. And so thinking about these thoughts, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at really predominantly verses 4 through 7, but let me go back and read these first three verses again. He is summarizing some of the thoughts, as we talked about last time, summarizing what we've been learning out of chapter 3, and going back to verse 17 and all of these things. And he says in chapter 4 and verse 1, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. And I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. And indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This morning I'd like to take a thought out of verses 4 through 7 and deliberate on something I would call our everyday Christianity. How do I live a Christian life in the everyday experiences? Not just in the crisis moments and not just in the moments when it's easy or convenient, but that every day of my life is truly an everyday Christianity. Father, I pray as we open your word here and as we take the opportunity to focus on you, to give attention to you, that, Lord, you would transform us more and more today. Lord, may you speak to our hearts. Lord, as we have sung the songs that declare the goodness of God, that declare your love and your attention to us, Lord, Paul puts it in a way that we then respond to that. Lord, I pray that we would truly do that, that we would rejoice in you as our God. So teach us what we need to learn here this morning, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do you ever just stop and ask yourself what today without Christ would have looked like? Maybe you're crawling into bed And you just stop and you look back with your mind's eye over the day that has just transpired and ask yourself, what would today have looked like if Christ had not been there? Or maybe on the other side of that, you ever ponder, because of Christ, what today did look like? Because you recognized him in the moment, you saw him at action, you beheld his presence in your life, and you begin to think about, wow, today could have been a whole lot different. Or because Christ is present, today was a different kind of a day. I responded differently. I saw life differently because I saw Christ in my day today. We're part of this book where Paul is kind of wrapping things up, as you would imagine. You're coming towards the end of it, just like in chapter 3 and verse 1, where he says, rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 4 and verse 4 here, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, hold on, now wait for it, rejoice. And right, what we need to understand is rejoice is the verbal form of joy, the action form of a noun. As you look at the word joy itself in the Greek, it's the idea of xara or xeris, and it's similar to the word that we use for grace. And then when you come to rejoice, it's that verbal form of that. It takes joy and it expresses it. It puts joy in a position to be seen and to be visible. It is something that is now inactive. It's activated. It's something that is now taking the disposition. It's like what the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says, is that joy is not just inward. It's not something that just happens on the inside. It has a cause and it finds expression. It is a disposition of the entire being, of the whole man. Later on, the TDNT states that joy is the actualization of freedom, which takes concrete form in fellowship. It's like what Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says, where we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. We find it that it's actualized. It is something that is demonstrated. Joy is something that then cannot just be stayed on the inside. It cannot be contained as something that is only inward, but it has to be expressed. Paul has addressed this schism that's going on between the two ladies there mentioned in verse 2. The Euodia and Syntyche scenario there. And now Paul, he's urging this entire church, the saints, the overseers, and the deacons, to rejoice in the Lord. And then, wait a minute, hold on, did you hear me? I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. So don't let it be something that you claim is only on the inside. Let it be something that then is seen every day of your life. So Paul is saying that this everyday Christianity is something that the world needs to have visible before them. What does that actually look like, though? And I'm glad you asked that question, because Paul is willing to tell us the answer to that question. There are three components I want to look at this morning of everyday joy, three components to recognize in our days if we want to find joy, but also to be able to express joy. Let's get into these. Number one, it's this. We got to obviously go to the cause. And you got to recognize what causes this to be the case. If I'm going to say that my life is a life that is able to declare what Paul is even saying here in verses 4 and chapter 3 and verse 1, going back even into other places. In fact, let's do that. Let's go back to chapter 1 even for just a minute. Go back to chapter 1 and look at what he is saying here in the first part of this relationship. Our entire series has been showing us how God is truly the heartbeat of our life. And he's saying here that Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. And look at what he says in verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then chapter 1 and verse 6, skip down to verse 6. He says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Go down to verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Skip down to verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. And yea, I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and through the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And then he says in verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Go to chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. He says in verse 5, have this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus. Go to chapter 2, verse 10. Look at verse 10. So that the name of Christ, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can see that same mention in verses 15 and 16, in chapter 3 and verse 1. Go to chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. You can find that same idea as well found in verses 7 through 11. The things gained are loss. Everything is considered to be of loss, of no value, except for the surpassing value of finding Jesus Christ. But then you come into chapter 4 and verse 1. My beloved brethren, to whom I long to see my joy and crown in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. All throughout this book, everywhere we've been, everything that Paul has been pointing to is that in our everyday experience of life, the only place that we're going to find the meaning and the causative and the solution for joy is only going to be found in Christ. I like how that statement that was in the Theological Dictionary again, where joy is the actualization of freedom, which takes concrete form in fellowship. And that's exactly what he's saying here in chapter 4. If you go down to verse 10, he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but you lacked opportunity. You rejoiced in the Lord, and as a result of your rejoicing in the Lord, there is something then that comes about. You seek to bring that fellowship, that shared fellowship with God, you seek to express that into the lives of so many other people around you. Christ is the cause. So when you lack joy, when you lack strength, when you lack sufficiency, when you lack the power to go on, then where is your relationship with God? What has robbed you of your joy? Has an idol come into your heart? Have you been fixating your attention and your infatuation, your loves and your attention upon something that is demanding now, something that you cannot satisfy and that will never satisfy you? Are you consumed with the cause of joy, or are you overwhelmed with God, or have you sought to find joy in some other misguided search? And many times we can put our attentions into things, even as simple as a spouse, into a career, into a score, an acquisition, or an account with a dollar sign attached to it. And we can get so caught up in trying to consume our life with these things and these other things and other people that we can lose the causative of where real joy comes from. It's only sourced in the Lord. So who is the Lord of your life? This is question mark of where we find our joy. But Paul takes that and he leads us then away from the concept of the causative, not to diminish its effect upon our understanding of this, but to take and hold that as he's been doing all through this whole book. And he leads us to a second component of joy, and that's what I call the countenance of joy. Look with me in verse 5 of chapter 4. You know, as he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now he says, verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. See, joy has a face. It has an expression. Did you know that joy can be seen? And he uses the word here as gentle. Let your gentleness, let the spirit of gentleness be known to all men. It's not to just a few, but when joy is in you because your heart is fixated upon Christ, that relationship with God is going to be seen as gentleness. And I'll tell you, this is what I find convicting. I don't know about you, if you find this convicting, but there are many times that I don't let the gentleness of my disposition be what other people see. I know that when I am troubled or dealing with the idols of my heart, guess who usually is the first person or first people to find out? It's usually my own family. I become the short-tempered individual, the withdrawn, the abrupt, the easily irritated. And if your first instinct is to pull away, then I encourage you to examine who is discovering, who is the one that's finding your joy. The concept behind this word is the English word is gentle, and it's describing those who are of a kind, a courteous, a tolerant, a yielding heart. I like how one commentator put it. It is used by, as he makes reference, and I quote, it is used by the Hellenistic writers and in the Septuagint primarily to refer to God or the other gods, or to the noble who are characterized by their gentle forbearance with others. And that is most likely its sense here only now as in the disposition of all of God's people. We are the disposition of God in his gentleness. It is not insisting on every right or the letter of the law or custom. And we see this used throughout Scripture to address multiple relationships and types of fellowships. Is one of the first qualities that's mentioned of the pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Peter picks up on it in first and express gentleness to their human masters, no matter if they are believers or not. It is the type of wisdom that James 3:17 describes as coming down from God, is this wisdom that is gentle and peaceable. Again, in the TDNT, it states that the word gentle carries with the idea of what is serviceable, as what is reasonable. Your expression of joy, the countenance of your joy, as 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul picks up on and he describes this as one attribute or quality that reflects the person of Jesus Christ, and how Paul myself urge you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. If Christ, who possesses all power and all authority, is gentle, how much greater the weight of duty we possess to be so when we have no power and we possess no authority in of ourselves. We are to be less conspiratorial and more kind. We need to be less about the gossip and more aware of how our words can hurt and not heal. We ought to seek peace and be in the same mind as Christ. Are you a gentle person, and would others be quick to state that that is true of your life? Or do people tend to shy away from you in your sharp tone and your quick tongue, your scornful demeanor? You know, put it this way, if people who are naturally critical, when you find them in your life, do they tend to hover around you because they find in you to be one of the first people that they would seek out to confirm their viewpoint? Or would you be one of the last people because you don't seem to be as critical as they are? I want you to catch what Paul is saying, that joy has a face. Its expression here, as Paul puts it, is one of being gentle. In other words, would you be a good one to help Yodia? Or would you be a proper one to help Syntyche? Or would you be just as quick to take sides? Be gentle. But then Paul speaks to the third component of everyday Christianity and how joy is seen in the life of a believer. And he moves from the cause and the countenance to what I describe as the concealed here in verse 7, 6 and 7. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What Paul deals with here is what nobody else gets to see. The cause is Christ. Its countenance is gentleness. It's expressible. But there has to be something that also is deep-rooted, because as Christ was working inside of us and there is this transforming nature of the gospel, it's working itself out in our lives, what has to start here in the sense of where we rest. That our spirit is at rest, and we can then be gentle because we are anxious for nothing. Verse 6 speaks of the anxiety. Verse 7 speaks of the peace. And when the gospel was introduced into your life, they're entered in a peace. They're entered in a relationship that once immediately you and God were at peace with each other. Peace was established between you, as Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Later on in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, Paul spoke of the mind that is set on the flesh and how it is death, but the mind that is set on the spirit is life and peace. And then in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, he says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And I see this as a movement. We begin with an understanding that we are at peace with God. We have the right God in our hearts and lives now. And everything else in my life, the everyday occurrences of my being, everything about my existence now is contained in that understanding. I now know my purpose. I find my identity. I know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. It's directed by God. And there is a gentleness that can come out of that. Why? Because there's no longer this anxiety. There's no longer this war. There's no longer this battle that's going on inside of our hearts and lives. We can live at peace now. And not just because we have the peace that comes because of our relationship with God is right, but now I know how to live at peace with you. We can be at peace. And it brings a lot of the anxiety in my world down. Now, that doesn't mean there's an absence of conflict. It doesn't mean that there won't be the Yodia and Syntyche occasions of the world and life. But where is my joy? We pursue peace. We build up one another. When I enter into relationships with somebody else, I'm not entering into a relationship to see what I can gain or what I can benefit from that relationship. I'm looking because I want to bring God into that situation. Well, the question of your heart then is which letter G are you talking about, the capital or the lowercase? Which God is leading you? What Paul is asking us to do is return to the cause of our joy, to find a heart that can rejoice in the midst of our everyday lives. We find joy. And it's not because the child is miraculously made well, or the job mysteriously appears, or that the bills just vanish, or that the relationship is instantaneously restored. That's not the source of my joy. It's because you found peace where anxiety used to dwell. Your heart is guarded fiercely by the God of the universe. Your mind is calmed by the knowledge that He has your back. You are at peace. Is that your Instagram hang-up? At peace. Your mind is fixated on Christ Jesus, whose mind is stayed on you. And in that, there is harmony because He brings peace, a peace that will blow your mind. I love this GIF. And He can now speak peace to your heart. And in that place of concealment, the place where you only exist, He brings a calmness in the midst. He brings a stillness in the midst of your storms and in the live spots of uncertainty. And in spite of the storms and in spite of the uncertainties, and yes, we will face hardships, and yes, there will still be storms that rise up in your life, but you can wade into those experiences knowing full well who is truly the captain of your life. There is no more anxiety. I am at peace. So where was the anxiety between Yodia and Syntyche? Yodia and Syntyche, live in harmony. What does He call them to? To rejoice in the Lord. Find the solution in Him. There's a disruption in the relationship. Find it in Christ. And in this we can live every day as a Christian, no matter what that day may bring forth. So let the doctor tell you the diagnosis. Let the CDC change their policies yet one more time. Let the pallbearers carry the casket out, and let the boss give you the pink slip, and let the bills pile up. But you keep your mind fixed on Christ. Do not become anxious. Do not become worried. Do not become overly concerned. For our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. I love that song. But is it more than just a tune that we sing in our worship services? Is it the expression of our everyday life? I like how he puts it in verse 5 here. Let the gentleness of your spirit be known to all men. And then at the very end, the Lord is near. Some translations, He is at hand. He is nigh. And what Paul reminds us of is that there is a constant promise of His return. But even more so, there's a faithfulness, a faith promise that He is always there. He is there. So where are you at? And the beautiful thing is this is where God is when you as a husband and wife are struggling, and you're letting the struggle lead to a place where it wants to divide you. And He is there when you and your child are at a point of friction and it wants to divide you. He is there in the moment when you and a coworker and you and a relative and you and some friend are at a place where there is something that wants to divide you. He is there. And Paul pulls these believers back to remember this. Rejoice in the Lord. Find the causative again. Find the breach. Find the place to tear down the anxiety, to tear down the disharmony. Find it in your relationship with Christ. And in that restored relationship, as you fixate your mind and you set your spirit and you bring things back to the way they should, you begin to restore and to rebuild the relationship. So what do you do when the bad news and the threats of doom arise in the horizon? And that's what we'll get to eventually in verses 8 through 10, where he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, you dwell on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity. It's get back to living everyday Christianity. It's not easy. This is not easy. Because every day we get hit with something or someone else that wants to distract our hearts. It wants to change the importance of God in our life and diminish his value and supply it with something of lesser value. It wants to give to us alternatives. And that's what the world is full of. That's what the devil is full of. That's what our old flesh is filled with. We want an alternative to God. And Paul says, but that's not where real joy is. Everyday Christianity is filled with enthroning him and empowering him and letting him just be who he is, God. So we remember the source, that the cause of joy isn't sunshine, but Christ. That the expression of our countenance of joy isn't hypocrisy and bitterness, but gentleness. That the place where it abides and the place where real joy is found is in the secret place, in the concealed places of our minds and our hearts. It's where peace is to dwell. Because we have a personal relationship with the God of grace and peace. The God who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The God who knows how to sacrifice because he loved us so much that he gave us all that he was that we might have eternal life. And so we live out our Christian every day. We live our faith every day. Rejoice in the Lord. Hey, again, let me say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, I ask as we go into our day, that Lord, you would do the examination of every heart that's here as to whether their joy is attempting to be found in something, in another form, another deity, another attempt to find another God that is not you. And Father, I pray that you would convict the heart of that one. Well, there may be somebody here this morning that does not have that personal relationship with you. They do not share the peace that comes by knowing you as their God. Not one amongst many, not one in a sense of a file and row to be added to the multitudes of other options, but Lord, you are the singular cause of what brings great joy, that we find our grace and our sufficiency in you. You are our joy. Lord, then I pray for that believer that's here, and their hearts and their lives are filled with anxiety and their
relationships are tumultuous and there are storms constantly all around them. Lord, I pray that you would bring peace. Lord, help them to see you in their day, to behold your presence, to understand what your word says for the answers to their everyday life. Satisfy the need of their heart, I pray. May you be God, and may we not look for another. And Lord, may we dethrone our own best intentions of being you. Lord, let us live every day with joy in our hearts. Speak as only your Spirit can, and may you be the abundance of our hope. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. So he will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. When like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. So it is well with my soul.
it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed.
Lord, we're so grateful this morning for the peace that we can have. May we rest in that peace because you are here. We're thankful for your presence in our lives, Lord. Guard our hearts and minds this week as we face difficulty and disappointment, despair. We rejoice, we have joy, we choose joy because of who you are and what we know you've promised in your word. We give that to you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Lord bless you. Hope you have a great week.